Good evening and welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us again. This is Benjamin with you on Source 107.9 FM Radio Fremantle, the Source Radio program. This is the latest in our set of pre-recorded interviews. I have been incredibly fortunate to speak with Mr. Max Egan, and he is, well, is an incredible individual who I'm about to introduce, and he's agreed to come and do an interview about one of his most recent offerings and works as a filmmaker called Transformation. Max, are you hearing me loud and clear?
Yes, I am. It's nice to be on the show, Benjamin.
Thank you very much for coming on, Max. It really is an honour to have you. Now, I was just introducing you. You're based in Queensland, and you have just the incredible amount of things that I've found out about you in the shortest time here. You're a filmmaker, a musician, an artist, also a radio announcer. I just found out minutes ago. Have a radio program in the United States there called Surviving the Matrix. Is that right?
Yeah, Surviving the Matrix.
Yeah. Yep, thecrowhouse.com is your website. That's thecrowhouse, all one word, lowercase, no space, .com. A blogger, you have a YouTube channel also. Numerous works, as I mentioned, in film, in documentary, Transformation, some of the titles, Fight the New World Order with Global Noncompliance, The Awakening, The Big Picture. The list goes on. My gosh, mate, you really are involved you got your finger in a lot of pies, and recently... I believe you have returned from a numerous set of speaking engagements overseas. Is that right?
Yeah, I just did some seminars in Croatia, and I did some talks in the UK and some talks in Costa Rica. They wanted me to do more in other places, but I was sort of kind of busy doing other things. It was actually a bit of a whirlwind wind tour. I went right around the world, actually, and I went to some pretty extraordinary places along the way.
Can you tell me a little bit briefly, Max, if you wouldn't mind, what you were speaking about on these particular tours?
Well, just trying to sort of get people to wake up to the system. I mean, we've got a lot of people talking about it and talking about sort of the problems that we face as a species, but there's very few people that are looking at the remedies to this situation. There's a lot of people bringing you the bad news, per se, but there's not too many people bringing you the solutions. I believe the solution to our problems is to start thinking with our whole brain. We live in very left-brain societies. We tend to be enslaved by the written word in as much as we only know what we're taught to know. We have forgotten how to know things with our heart. I think we need to go back to that and find ourselves a little bit and start applying that to reality. It's a little bit spiritual, but I think there's a spiritual approach to this whole global situation. Once we do that, once we discover the power of ourselves, then we lose the fear, and we do start standing up against the system. So I believe the relationship that we have with government, with all governments in all countries, is essentially a trust agreement. I mean, your relationship with anybody is a trust agreement, is it not? I mean, you take your car into a mechanic to get them to fix it. It's a trust agreement. You expect him to fix your car and to be honest about it. You order a pizza from the shop, and you expect the pizza delivery to, you know, get there on time and to bring you a pizza that's hot, and it's a trust agreement. So why would people consider that their relationship with government was anything else other than a trust agreement? I mean, government only actually gets the power that we give to the government, and yet they create legislation which is basically crippling our society. It's allowing our country to be strip mined and coal seam gas companies to run rampant, and the people petition and try to approach the government within rules constructed by government in order to bring about change, and it never really works because they're not looking at the high harmonic, which is the trust agreement that exists between the population and the government, which gives the government the power to create this legislation to begin with. So that's kind of the way I approach it when I do the talks. I'm just trying to get people to understand that we can point the finger at any controlling mechanism as much as we like, and if we continue to work within the parameters that are given to us by that controlling mechanism, we're never going to be able to fix anything. We have to remember who we are and who gets the power, who the government gets their power from. Recently, actually, before I left, before I went overseas, Julia Gillard made a statement to a mining company where she said that, she said, you mining companies need to understand that you don't own the resources, that we, the government, only lease you the rights to the resources, and that we, the government, hold the resources in trust for a sovereign people. She actually said this, so she was admitting to being a public trustee. So once we remember that, remember our governments are simply a group of public trustees, that's how we can fix this whole situation. We don't have to work within their legal parameters. We have to hold them in breach of trust, really. But in order to do that, we've got to be in integrity ourselves. We've got to really find ourselves. You know, we're always looking for the answers outside by pointing our finger at other people, but I believe the answer exists within ourselves, and we just have to find that courage to speak to our public trustees in the proper relationship role, you know?
So. Yeah, and I think this is a huge thing to point out, and I would agree with you. There's a lot of people, it does seem in my research and a lot of the people I speak to, they're willing to go out of their way to discover what exactly is wrong with the situation we currently face as a species, as a civilization. But there is very few people coming out with remedies of what it's going to take for us to get ourselves back on track. And I think for the largest part, for many people who become aware of the situation and become more and more immersed in realizing the truth of the situation, they seem to think, I myself have come across a lot of people who are in despair, because there isn't that revelation of that there is something we can do and there is something that we really need to do right now in order to start changing the direction we are headed. So for the most part, people will often absorb this information and then in kind of a hopeless surrender say, oh, well, there's nothing really we can do. There's nothing much. It's beyond our scope. What am I to do? You know, the poor me syndrome. I'm just one man. What can I do? Blah, blah, blah. But you're telling us there really is substantial remedy to be found that we can take part of right now.
Well, there is, but the remedy is inside each of us. I mean, we always hear this. I mean, you can change the world by changing your inner state, you know, and people go, oh, this is hippie rubbish. But you know, people don't understand what it actually means. If you change your energetic state to a state where you know who you are and you're not in fear of a system, which is essentially fiction, you can stand up against the system. I mean, I'm just one person. I'm making a difference. I'm living proof that one person can make a difference. You just have to know who you are and be prepared to stand in that. So the reason people go into despair when they look at the systems, they finally realize that there is this huge mechanism of control in place, that we're losing more and more rights every day, that the earth is being literally devoured by corporations. It really is. It's being strip-mined. It's being abused horribly by corporate interests. And all of these corporations are supported by government through legislation, and it becomes insurmountable. The problems seem so insurmountable to the average person when they discover that the world is not the way they thought it was. But that's because they are looking within the parameters provided by the system for them to look within, saying, well, legally they've got the legal right to do this and the legal right to do that. But what is legal? Legal is that which relates to legislation. What is legislation? You know, LEG, legal, LEG, legislation. What is it? It's rules that politicians write down on pieces of paper in an attempt to subvert natural law and replace it with their will. That's all legislation is. It's not law, it's legislation. So where do they get the power to create this legislation and then call it law? They only get that through the trust agreement that exists between ourselves and government. But we never call them on that agreement. We never call them on trust. You know, if they're inflicting legislation upon me or upon anybody, if they're placing anybody in this country in a state of hardship due to legislation that they've written, then I'll call them on breach of trust and I'll call them to show cause why they should not be held in breach of trust, because they only get the power to inflict that legislation upon the people through the power that we grant them as the electors. I mean, this is a Commonwealth country. We are the common people. The wealth of the country belongs to the common people. It belongs to us. Government are our employees. This is the way we need to look at it. I mean, I don't want to attack them or have riots or imprison them or anything. I just want them to be held accountable. And I don't see why they should use the power that we give them to inflict themselves upon us. This is not the role that we created them to play, because we created government. This whole system, I mean, we created it. We made it up. That's where it all comes from. It's fiction. It only exists on paper. We made the whole thing up. But the people who are now in control of it don't educate people in all of this noise. They don't ever educate people in the power that they have. The whole education system is basically designed to make the population subservient to authority and to never understand that what their relationship with this authority is a trust agreement. So to me, that's where the remedy lies. And for a lot of people, it's almost insurmountable, because they just can't step above the legal system to the higher harmonic, which is trust. Now, I believe that's the key to the whole thing. That's the key that will unlock the manacles that enslave humankind.
Can I dig a little further there, Max? Because I've had a conversation of the like once or twice before. When I mention on the radio or wherever I'm speaking about the fact that we have the capacity to make change and to, as you say, we are given options in order to make our case heard within a system that tells us that within the rights of the system we can make this and that challenge, whether it be legal or protesting or otherwise. However, that's not necessarily effective, as in that doesn't actually manage to action or activate any of the change we'd like to see. But when you say that it's necessary or it's possible for us to resist or to reform our government or to make changes using options outside the system or outside the options presented to us by the system for change, what are you talking about? Can you speak a little bit more to that? Because people that I've spoken to suggest, well, what are you talking about? Are you talking about picking up guns and shooting them? Are you talking about some kind of communist revolt? Or people don't seem to understand what that means. What type of options are there that you're talking about that don't include the legal options presented by the system to combat itself?
Well, you've got to understand the legal options that are presented by the system are presented, and they're designed to protect the system. That's what they're for. They tie you up in red tape. But they only get that power from us. What I'm talking about is a unification of the people and a reining in of the current system, bringing these people back to the status that they should be, which is basically the administrative arm of our society. That's really all we need government to be, is the administrative arm of our society. And if we have proper education and look at our money system as well. We got a money system which is interest-based, which enslaves everybody in this country to a state of permanent debt. And this is the same with any country that has a central bank. We've got a debt-based monetary system which enslaves the population to a state of permanent scarcity. This is what creates greed. It's what creates crime. It's what creates all the competition that we have in our society. So if you got rid of that monetary system, then we wouldn't have half the need for half the police that we've got, because people wouldn't be in this state of contrived scarcity all the time. So we can just take that little matter in hand and rein these people back to the state that they are doing things that we, the people, actually want them to do. I mean, we don't want coal seam gas mining in the country, but no matter how much we protest, the governments get away with it. But isn't this a democratic country? What if we, the people, all respected each other enough to know that we do have the power to control our government, and we all wrote out a people's mandate? We, the people, hereby mandate that you, our public trustees, cease all coal seam gas mining in this country. You have 30 days to comply. Should you fail to comply, you've abdicated your right to govern. You will be required to step down and to be replaced by a new group of elected trustees who will carry out the will of the people. This is our will. This is called democracy. It's not negotiable. We have the power to hold these people in check and to check our government in and rein them in, but we're not going to do it by operating within the legal parameters that they give us, because these legal parameters are designed to wrap us up in red tape while the country is continually raped. Mm. We just have to rein it in by realizing the power that we have and mandate that our public trustees do what we want them to do, or they will be replaced. And we're not doing it by their rules. We're doing it by our rules, because they only get the power to make those rules through the power that we give them. And should they choose to enslave us to those rules and not carry out what we called for in our people's mandate, then we will hold them in breach of trust. Yeah. I mean, it's really that simple. That's what we have to do. And it's getting to the stage where we need to do this, because this planet is in bad shape. And our governments are not doing anything, because they are serving corporate interests. Every single one of them, every single government on this planet is in breach of trust. I mean, look at it. There's probably a few that aren't, but 90% of them are, you know. And if they claim they're not, then exhibit A, the earth. Have a look at the place. Yeah. Look what we've done to this planet. Look what we're doing to this country. Look what we've done to the Aboriginal people in this country. The whole intervention in the Northern Territory, which is all about uranium mining. That's what it's all about. I mean, it's because all the uranium on this country is found on Aboriginal land. We've got Julia Gillard going over and saying now it's going to supply, Australia's going to supply uranium to India, yes, and Pakistan, both of, yes, which have not signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, both which have been threatening nuclear war with each other for years. We've got Der Fuhrer, Herr Gillard, going out and selling these people the means to create World War III. Who does this woman think she is? She's a public trustee. She's in breach of trust. I'll call you on it. Julia, if you're listening, I call you on breach of trust. I require you to show cause why I should not hold you on breach of trust. Yeah, and that's the situation we need to have with these trustees because they are all in breach of trust. Exhibit A, Australia. Have a look.
Yeah, yeah. And I think for the largest percentage of the population, I think definitely in terms of Australians, they would be still under the understanding that they really do decide what goes on in the government. They think that this one vote that they make every 4 years or however long it is in fact their power. And in fact, that is, they say, well, I vote these people in to do that and I vote them in to make that decision and then that's my call. And as long as I get my piece of the pie and my plasma TV every, you know, 2 years and my new car every 3 years and I can upgrade my home and get a mortgage at a cheap interest rate, who am I to complain as long as I get mine? And there's this lack of responsibility or willing to comply to a more universal sense of brotherhood that enables the ones who have been put in power to do what they do indiscriminately without any oversight to the people who are supposed to have given them that power. I mean, would you think that's accurate?
Well, it is, absolutely. See, we don't ever realise that the overseers are us. You know, we can't get the government to employ an oversight body. I mean, we've got a governor general that was appointed by the prime minister, haven't we? I mean, how does this work? I mean, you can't be appointing your own watchdog. We are the watchdogs.
Yeah.
We just forgot that. We forgot what our role is. Our role is grantor and beneficiary of the trust agreement that exists between ourselves and government. That's what it is. And I'll call any one of these people out. I don't care what they say. Mm. I mean, I'm sick to death of having to play within the parameters of a corrupt system, a corrupt corporate-controlled system, and it is corrupt. It's absolutely corrupt. And when I'm saying it's corrupt, I'm not saying all these people are evil wheelers and dealers. I'm saying it's corrupt. It's dysfunctional. It doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
Now, when you have a corrupt file on your computer, you don't perceive it to be evil. It's simply dysfunctional. Well, that's what this system is. It's dysfunctional. It's corrupt and dysfunctional. So if you work within the parameters provided by this corrupt and dysfunctional system, you are automatically corrupted in your efforts to fix the problem because it's an inherently corrupt system. And that's it. So why play within those boundaries? Why not step above it and see where the system comes from? It comes from us. But, you know, we have to take responsibility, though, to do this. And that's the big thing. I mean, a lot of people scream that they want freedom. They want things to be better. They want freedom. But all they really want to do is they want to point the finger at someone. They want to pull them down. They want to see them prosecuted. Then they want to put a new parent in place.
Yeah.
And that's not freedom. Freedom is 100% self-responsibility. Everything that you say and do, be responsible for who you are in every single thing that you say and do. That is freedom. Freedom is self-responsibility. And self-responsibility terrifies most people. And that's the problem. That's the problem that we face. It's a bit of a conundrum because people want to be free, but they don't want to be responsible. There's the problem, you see.
Mm. So it's very true, Max. And you spoke about it as well. I just wanted to draw attention back. These tours that you made recently around the world and spoke about these themes and issues to a global audience. I was curious to note, in terms of Australia as the rest of the places you visited, how receptive are the general population to these ideas that you spoke about? I mean, how does Australia rate in terms of their ability to discern and disseminate this information and make sense of what you're trying to present?
Well, I mean, Australia's pretty good, but it's hard to get the information out to Australia. Where I've spoken, I went actually and spoke up at Cairns last week and at the Antheon Gaia Festival, and I presented all these concepts to them. There's a speech that's actually posted on YouTube. It's also on my channel, thecrowhouse.com, on my website. You can scroll down there. You'll find it a little way down the homepage.
Mm-hmm.
Max Egan speaking at Antheon Gaia. Mm-hmm. I covered these issues, and that was very receptive. I got a massive reception in places such as Croatia.
Really?
I didn't realize, but when I got to Croatia, apparently I'm quite well known in Croatia.
Wow.
And as soon as I arrived, I was interviewed for the radio. There was a double page spread in the national newspaper that I was in the country.
Wow.
I did two seminars, one short TV special, two more radio shows, and then one TV special with Rick Simpson and another primetime television show just by myself, an hour-long television show. So that was quite amazing.
But that's very positive. I mean, that points to me like there is some kind of awakening going on to some degree in parts of the world. That's excellent.
Well, there is. I mean, everywhere I went through Peru, I went through Costa Rica, Spain, Portugal, Slovenia, the UK, Ireland, and I spoke to people in all these places, Croatia, and met people in all these places, and there was pockets of resistance everywhere that I went, but people just don't know what to do. They know that there's a problem, but they don't know how to fix it. But now they're starting to understand the concept of trust. And really, it's fiduciary trust. I mean, you know, if you think of the wealth of the nation being the resources of the nation, the wealth of this country is the resources of this piece of land we call country, that we call Australia, or that the government calls Australia, that we call country. Mm. Then the resources, the wealth of this nation is us. We are the nation, and its wealth is our wealth. So the trustees that hold this is a fiduciary trust agreement. That's the way it is. It's the same as anything of value when someone holds that for you and they can make decisions regarding that object. That's a fiduciary trust agreement. And that's what our relationship is with government. It's fiduciary trust. And we can, and even above the fiduciary trust, it's even just trust. And trust is the basis of every relationship you have with everybody. Like I said, people are starting to get this now. They're starting to understand that there is a way. But it's within your heart. You've got to know who you are. You've got to know your own power. And you've got to be prepared to stand up and call these people out, you know. And once we have a population that is aware of this, and it's a really, really simple issue. I mean, you can bypass any talk of conspiracies. You don't even have to go down the 9/11 rabbit hole. You don't have to talk about the New World Order or government corruption or anything. Chemtrails, anything. You don't have to bring anything to the table that might freak people out or offend them. All you have to do is help them understand that their relationship with government is a trust agreement. And that's where the remedy lies. Because once the population know this, once this is disseminated through the minds of the populace, once someone stands up and says this, like myself, stands up and calls this government on breach of trust, everyone in the nation is going to go, yes. This is what's going on, and this is the way to fix the problem. So that's what I believe we have to do. And I had a great response everywhere I went, right around the world. Of course, I wasn't just talking about this, but it has become a major part of it, especially through some of the things that I've seen. I've seen a real need to get this understanding into the minds of the people because it bypasses all the other stuff. They can find about all the conspiracies and all the terrible stuff that's done and all the GM food and the toxins in the water and the fluoride and all this stuff. They can find out what these people were getting away with later. But let's first address this trust agreement. And it could unite the country because how many people do you know that don't have a problem with government? But they don't know how to deal with the problem. Well, the way to deal with it is to realize what your relationship with these people is. It's a trust agreement, folks. That's where the remedy lies.
Mm. And it's interesting as well, you speak about it really being a uniting force, and considering the situation as it stands, as we kind of take a panoramic view of the way things are panning out right now, not only in this country, as we're seeing these kind of faint economic signs that are starting to build where it seems to point out to the fact that things are not so rosy as they are, not so rosy in Europe, but they're not so rosy in the US, who have, you know, really started to degenerate, the system starting to degenerate. And I've mentioned and had this discussion with different people on the radio. It does seem, however, that these type of changes that we need to see and we need to make people more aware of to become more responsible for, it doesn't seem like people are so willing to move unless, if you'll forgive me, you light a fire under their asses. You know, like if you take an example of a five-year-old, your five-year-old child, you tell them don't put your hand over the flame of the stove because you'll burn yourself and hurt yourself. So you can tell them 10 times and they may or may not understand it, but it's not until they put their hand onto the flame and they feel the pain and the intense discomfort that they realize, aha, I understand what you're talking about now. And in terms of Australia, I would say that would be potentially a case in point because we so far still, in my opinion, suffer from the lucky country syndrome where she'll be right, mate, everything's okay. Still, we still, for the most part, have jobs. We still, for the most part, get our 15 minutes of gratification, you know, on the TV and all these kind of forms of distraction. Would you say that it's difficult to see really momentous changes happening until generally people start to suffer from the consequences?
Well, yeah, that's the problem with Australians. I mean, they don't really pay attention to anything until it bites them on the ass. As you say, it's got to be right in their own backyard and affecting them personally before they understand it. So again, this
But often that could be too late. You know, often when it gets to that point, it's too late already.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, dear people, I mean, I do love them, but sometimes I just call them apothralians, you know. it's a very apathetic culture sometimes. I mean, God love them, and they're wonderful people, and they can be very staunch when aroused, but, yeah, they can be very slumberous as well.
Yeah.
So, but that's the beauty of this understanding, you see, trust. I mean, If you think about it, like I said, everybody has got some problem with government, whether it was a parking ticket, whether it was their rates going up, water rates, electricity bills too high, something Julia Gillard said, or whatever. Everybody's got some problem with government. I mean, name someone who hasn't, and it's probably someone who's in a coma, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, everybody has a problem with government. So even if you're just in idle talk around the pub or around a work site, you're saying, yeah, well, even isn't that amazing that they could do that? They could give you that ticket. Where do they get the power to do that? They only get that power from us. Wouldn't this ticket be a breach of trust isn't this a trust agreement? I mean, you just kind of, you know, start planting these seeds in people's minds so that when this information is disseminated through, I mean, look, you think about it, you know, Joe Blockhead, who drives a Kingwood and watches the footy and drinks beer every Saturday, could figure this out, you know? You don't have to be a genius to see the truth of this. So once this is spread through the minds of the people, then you get someone like me or someone like somebody else who stands up and calls the government on everything they've been doing and calls it on breach of trust. You're going to have this already in the minds of the public, and they're all going to go, yeah, what he said. You know, and you'll get the ball rolling. And then all of these other things will come to the attention of the people, and I believe that it will start a landslide. This will cause the penny to drop, and people will see how easy it actually is to deal with this situation. We just need this united public. The problem is we live our lives in competition with each other. We're very divided societies. We're trained to judge each other and judge everything. I mean, we're always in competition with each other. We're given all these yardsticks to measure ourselves up to. It's got to be this way and that way, and you are not part of my team, and I barrack for this team, and all this rubbish that is used to divide us, you know, tribal mentality totally pushed on us. All the whole racism issue that's pushed on us, the multiculturalism, how they use it to create animosity within society by giving benefits to people and all sorts of things just to stir up division. They do it. It's all planned. I think it's all planned. And it's all external stuff that's there to create division. What we have to do is find the perfection in ourselves, realize how perfect we could be and the power that we have, and realize that everybody else on this planet is here with us. We're all in the same position. We're all in this state of competition and division with each other because of the system that has created that in our mindset. We can bypass it. We can step above it. We can respect and see the beauty in each other. And we can deal with this system by simply reining it in, by realizing what it is. It's simply a trust agreement. And I think we can do it. I really do. I think this is the big shift that is going to happen. You know, shift happens, but you have to participate. I think this is how we participate.
No, very true, Max. And, you know, like you said, this division that is perpetrated by the system itself, and it does, it perpetrates this disharmony and disunity is, in effect, the very thing that stops what you're basically talking about from coming about, because it's our Achilles heel to somehow unify and to finally realize and understand that we are unified and we are one mass consciousness and one race and one people, and that we need to start acting like it. I think the system works very well like that. Now, Max, we are coming to already halfway through the hour, so I wanted to, if I might, draw our attention to, like I said, your latest, most recent offering in terms of your filmmaking, the Transformation project that you recently completed. Now, fantastic, incredible. I was just blown away, not only by the information, but I was really impressed with your your graphic art designs and these things. It really adds to the flavour and the conveying of the message. And you really did that. I just want to remind people, in order to see this film, you need to either go... It's very easy. You can find it on YouTube under Transformation. If you type in T-R-A-N-C-E hyphen formation, F-O-R-M-A-T-I-O-N. If you go to thecrowhouse.com, you can find it there as well. It's floating around. It's on the YouTube channel for The Crow House. It's very easy to get your hands on, and Max has very kindly made it available, freely available to the public. So there's no real reason for you not to get into it. Now, if I can, Max, I wanted to start getting into this work that you did because, in my opinion... and I do a lot of research along with some of my my friends and fellow researchers, and I've never seen anyone delve into the topic of transhumanism in the way that you did, in a very public way, in a very freely, easily digestible way. And it seems to be above and beyond your average concerns and problems people have with government, even to the level of conspiracy fact. And these other kind of alternative media items, the idea of transhumanism is possibly one of the greatest threats or challenges to the human race that we currently face. I mean, would you agree with that statement?
Well, I would, absolutely. I mean, it creates a real need. As I said, there's a real need to rein this government in. And I put the information I put out there in the film to just say, well, hey, here's what my research is indicating is happening. If I'm wrong, hey, I'm all ears. Please show me that I'm wrong. But when I put all of this on the table and I connect the dots, well, I just have to throw the cards on the table and let them fall where they may, and where they fall is transhumanism. And not only that, but they tell you that that's what they're doing. I featured heavily in the film excerpts from a film by Ray Kurzweil called Transcendent Man.
Yes.
Where they basically tell you this is what they want to do. So, okay, well, if this is what they're going to do, how do they intend to go about it?
Mm.
How would they carry out such a plan? What sort of delivery system would they use? So that's what I looked at in the film. And so I started looking around the place. I started looking within my own environment and looking towards the research of other people to see if there was anything to back this up. And lo and behold, there is. And so this appears to be where we're going. And this creates a real need for us to pay attention to what's happening around us. I believe a lot of the conspiracy stuff is all designed to have people chasing down rabbit holes and looking for someone to point the finger at and giving them just enough conspiracy stuff and spy versus spy and cloak and dagger stuff to keep them interested. It's almost like reading a spy novel for a lot of people. They're waiting for the next installment, the next chapter to be published. We researchers call it doom porn. The people to, you know. It is. I mean, there's a planet X is coming, or this is the Earth's going to be destroyed by robots, or whatever the hell people are coming up with, you know.
So, but, what,
really,
what is it?
When you look at it, there's a real situation here, and the only way it's going to be fixed is by us knowing the power that we have. It's got to come down to us. We've got to rein this system in. And transhumanism is a very, very real issue, and it appears to be the ultimate end game, the ultimate control. And it goes really, really deep as well. I mean, there's so much to do with spirituality that is attached to this topic. Even the way they're able to get away with it is a very spiritual understanding as well. So it really ties it all together. It's very difficult to convey to people because a lot of people that look at the scientific aspects of things won't look at the spiritual aspects of things, but ultimately it's all tied together. And until you can be prepared to do that and put down your belief systems and simply look at the information and go where it leads you, then you'll never, you know, be able to really understand what's going on. So, but I tended to address that in the film.
So what is it exactly, Max? For those of us who are unfamiliar with the concept of transhumanism, what exactly is transhumanism?
Well, it's the merger of man with machine. A lot of people say this is what humankind is destined to become. There's a project called the Enterprise Project, which delves heavily into this. I featured a speaker from that in the film as well, and he was saying that it's going to happen, it's inevitable, and that people who don't embrace it will die out. You know, this is where humankind is going. It's inevitable that we would merge with machine. So they
so
just,
we're talking
they
about
just,
cyborgs, we're talking about people, we're talking about enhancement, we're talking about the way in which humans interface with machines and technology. I mean, all these aspects encompass the idea of what actually transhumanism, what it means to be a human transformed.
Absolutely. And you know, people think of it, getting Google into the frontal lobe of the brain, being able to ring up somebody through an implant in your head and being able to not have to speak, but you can just think the conversation to the person that you're communicating with. So it's sort of like telepathy, all this sort of stuff. But, you know, I believe, and something that I experienced when I was in Peru in ceremony, was that we can do a lot of these things already. We've had a lot of our inner technology stolen from us, and now we've been given these cheap digital clunky versions of it. And, you know, you think about it, if you've got a phone in your head and I'm calling you and I'm speaking to you without even speaking, without talking, we're just communicating to each other via telepathy, and it's being done through an implant in my head or a machine in my head, then that means that my thoughts can be monitored. So then when does thought crime come into it? How controlled would the human experience be? I mean, we've got an incredibly complex biological computer that we inhabit called the human body. Why would we want to merge this with machine? But there are people that want to do this, and they are doing it. They speak about how they wish to do it, how they wish to infuse everything with nanotechnology. You know, they say it. Soon everything will be infused with nanotechnology. Plants, trees, rocks, everything will become intelligent in their understanding of what intelligence is, which is a very left-brain scientific understanding. There's no room left for spirituality. And the problem isn't whether these people are evil, whether they are bad, whether they are doing this maliciously, or whether they're simply insane, whether they're just control freaks or megalomaniacal sociopaths. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant whether they're good or bad. What is relevant is that there is a group of people who believe that their way is the only way, and they are in implementing this way. They are in the process of doing it right now. And all of the signs to prove that this is what's happening is in the environment. And a lot of people, when they think of transhumanism, they think of things such as implants.
Yeah.
They think of robots. They think of cyborgs. They think of something they saw on TV. But what if they're doing it genetically? What if they are modifying you from the inside out using nanotechnology by attaching nanotechnology to your DNA and modifying your DNA? Now, they've done recent tests where they injected nanoparticulates into rats, and they then hit them with an electromagnetic frequency, and these nanoparticulates were used to switch the genes on and off in the rat.
Mm.
So they can do this through electromagnetism. They can switch genes on and off using nanoparticulates. And nanoparticulates, you can't even see these things. They're so small. You know, little tiny, tiny, tiny machines that combine to create bigger machines, and they do things. They create little devices. You know, they're very, very intelligent. They can be programmed. And we have this technology. And it appears to be in just about everything. If you get a microscope and start searching for this stuff, you're finding some pretty weird things growing in petri dishes these days. So what's coming from?
And you speak about, I wanted to get more into some of the ways in which our current situation bellies this transhumanist agenda. And there are some very real examples that I want to get into for those of the listeners out there who are feeling maybe that this is a bit science fiction at this stage. It really is not. But there was a really important point you made, incredibly poignant, and I thought it was definitely, I wanted to discuss it a little bit, if it's okay. In the film, you state that people realize, for the most part, in a way, in a sense, that there is something beyond the five senses. There is something more to their world. There is something more to their existence that they can't put a finger on. They can't quite understand exactly how it works, but they know it exists. And you present the idea that transhumanism represents, for many people who are, shall we say, spiritually devoid or completely without awareness or understanding or acceptance of a spiritual nature of humanity, atheist being case in point, but they suggest that transhumanism offers an opportunity for mankind to evolve and to explore beyond the five senses using technology. And it's a choice that mankind needs to make, whether they are going to, in fact, embrace a spiritual side to their nature and will be willing to explore that side. And that's not religion. Religion is, you know, man-made dogmatic institutions made to, you know, control and educate in a certain way. but spiritual realizing the divine nature of humanity itself, or they're going to choose this technology option and attempt to explore the universe in that way. And that hit me like a train, Max. That point hit me like a train. It really is one of the scariest points in the entire film, because for the most part, in my opinion, people are mostly, at least in Western countries, more spiritually devoid. They don't have a spiritual nature that they explore or sense beyond what maybe religion tells them, if they haven't outrightly rejected religion wholesale due to their experiences with it. And so they will, in fact, embrace this technological option as a means of human evolution. I mean, is that accurate?
Well, I mean, it is in many ways, but people in Western society, I mean, they don't have time often to explore any spiritual understanding of themselves. But the thing is, you know, you've got higher senses, you've got higher capabilities that you're not aware of. And so when we're presented with technology such as the internet, such as mobile phones, it's very, very attractive to us. And we take to it like a fish to water, because it's offering us digital versions of doing things that we can already do if we were fully active and left to our own devices. If the pineal gland wasn't shut down, if we weren't fed fluoride from birth, you know, in the water and all this sort of stuff, and we weren't so spiritually locked down from biological means, because we are biologically controlled in order to block us off spiritually. I mean, just the fact that our pineal gland's closed and we don't have enough DMT flowing through our body. We should have a lot more DMT flowing through our body than we have. If we did, we would experience the instincts that the other animals have. Because DMT, it isn't a drug. It's something that's produced in your spine and distributed through your body via the pineal gland. And because of the fluoride, our pineal's calcified, so we don't have access to a lot of reality that other animals do. I mean, you know, like the way animals will leave an area before a tsunami. 3 days before a tsunami, you'll find all the wildlife leaves. All the people stay there and they get eaten up by the tsunami. They get you know, destroyed by the wave. But all of the animals have left because they can sense a change in the energy field. They know something's coming. You know, and scientists say, oh, this is instinct. But what is instinct? Where does it come from? Why don't we have it? How come native people would have left the area as well, but all the white westernized people didn't? Not just the white westernized people, but all the westernized people didn't, because they're all locked down. They don't have these instincts anymore. What is instinct? It's a biological mechanism. It's the DMT in your body that accesses the antenna that is in nature. And so you can't communicate with reality and nature around you. So we've got a lot of higher things that we can do here. And because we've had that taken away from us, we embrace the technology. In fact, we will ask for the technology. We will want the implants. We will want this direct communication, because we want to be connected to the universe, because we don't know that we already are, you know. So, and we're trained to be this way. I mean, you can't blame people for being this way. They're trained to think this way. They're enslaved to the written word. They only believe what it says in this book is possible, could be possible. They only believe that certain scientific parameters that they're presented with by these academic establishments are possible. It has to fit within these parameters, so they're controlled by their belief system. There's something that I always say to people. There's a thing called the measurement problem, which is, you heard of the measurement problem?
No, I don't think I have.
It's when a scientist goes to measure an atom. He can't measure an atom, a physicist, you know. He goes to measure an atom, and they find that the electrons that revolve around the nucleus can't be measured because they're infinite. They exist everywhere all at once. Now, think about that. They exist everywhere at once, okay? It isn't until the scientist goes to measure the atom that the electrons coalesce to form the atom. So the act of observation creates the atom. So therefore, we create the atoms by observing it. So if people are telling you something's impossible, I would suggest that very much the otherwise, because if we can create an atom simply by observing it, then almost anything is possible. It just depends on what you believe is possible. That's the problem. People are trained to think within certain belief systems. And I'm not saying go overboard and just believe the ridiculous is impossible, but try to expand your perceptions a little bit and think a little bit outside of the box. I mean, we have stuff all over the world that shows that we have higher senses. This is replete throughout Hindu literature, throughout ancient Vedic texts, through all of the old Indian texts, through Egyptian texts. There's always references to the third eye, the pineal gland, and the significance that it plays. So the fact that it's shut down in our society, I believe, is a huge problem. And the fact that it is shut down is also what makes this technology so attractive to people when they really have the inner technology to do things themselves if they were only look there. But again, they're never given the time to look there. That's the problem. That's why you can't blame them. I mean, we've got a society which, the more corrupt it gets, the more they put the prices up. So you've got to run faster on the treadmill so you don't notice what's going on. You know, it's very clever.
Well, yeah, and you do mention that in that transformation as well. You mentioned about the systems of control, how our personality, our perspective is influenced by family, indoctrinated into a tightly controlled education, and then we taught what to say and think and believe in the system. We got independent thought is being frowned upon, and our excess in life, you know, really is dependent on how well we regurgitate others' thoughts and opinions. It is. We don't have independent thought, or if we do have, it's frowned upon. We don't get marked as well. We've got to be economically viable, you mentioned, and through this profit gain system, we're measured our self-worth. So unless we're working, we have no self-worth. Unless we're chasing the paper money and the credits, we don't. And it does. It's a wheel. It's a wheel you just keep running on like a rodent, and you can't get off quickly or long enough to stop and look around you and realize the reality of the situation. So you really do point that out clearly. And you have some fantastic people that you put on the film, the input there by Dr. Jill Bolt-Taylor, the neuroanatomist, speaking about the way the brain works. That was incredible, the explanation in which she brings about more understanding of how it processes through electromagnetism the information, and then we make sense of it how we do. Sophia Smallstrom, talking about the way in which these nanoparticles, they work and how they are used through chemtrails and the like. John Lipscomb, I mean, there are so many incredible inputs that you put into that film, and there's so much to think about. It really is crazy. Can we talk a little bit about the delivery systems a bit more? Because as I mentioned before, it really does seem like for the most part people might see this as a little more far-fetched, that we're not there yet, that we're not going to experience that in the foreseeable future. But you do delineate some of the current modes of delivery system that have been used here. We have the weather manipulation, the HARP arrays, the vaccinations that can inject us with these nanoparticulates, the chemtrails, these what is it called? Climate remediation, I believe the term was. I mean, all of this stuff is currently being used. The smart meters, which collects information, the nanotechnology within these chemtrails that are being analyzed by independent researchers. I mean, it's here and it's now and it's right now. It's not some far away problem that needs to be dealt with in 100 years. It's right here and right now, isn't it?
Well, it is. That's the thing. And when you look at the smart grid that's being put in place, I mean, what are these smart meters really doing? And why have they mandated that everybody use these curly light bulbs now? I mean, they've made it mandatory. You can't even buy the old incandescent light bulbs anymore. And these curly light bulbs let off a very, very uncomfortable electromagnetic frequency. It's called dirty electricity if you measure them on a meter. People are getting asthma from them, increased asthma attacks, even sunburn some people are getting from these curly light bulbs. They're very dangerous. They're full of mercury. You seem to see an electromagnetic control grid being put in place. And the chemtrail spraying, I mean, it is real. People say it's not, but it is. We've done soil analysis. We've done water analysis. We're finding very, very strange things in the soil and water. We're finding elevated levels of barium and strontium. We're finding desiccated erythrocytes, red blood cells, all sorts of stuff coming down in the chemtrails. I mean, if this stuff is in the atmosphere and it's in the water and it's in the soil, where is it coming from? It's everywhere. So where's it coming from? The only common denominator is the chemtrails. I mean, the skies do not look the same as what they did when I was a child. They're a much lighter blue now than what they were when I was a kid. And if people say that this spraying isn't going on, well, there's documents released by the UK House of Commons talking about climate remediation, geoengineering. The governments themselves admit that these programs are on the table and that there are climate remediation and geoengineering programs being carried out. So there's no good saying that they're not spraying, because they admit that they are. So we just have to really look at what it's all about and where it's all going. And really, I mean, like I said, if you look at everything, it doesn't make a lot of sense. You look at the spraying in the sky and you think, well, I wonder what it's for. You look at the smart meters and you think, well, is it really a conspiracy? You look at the light bulbs, you wonder. You look at the GM food, you wonder, the vaccinations, all of this stuff. Taken at face value, each one of them doesn't look so insidious. But when you put them all together and then you consider the possibility that one of the ingredients of the chemtrails is nanoparticulates, then it all works. It all fits together, and it's the piece of the puzzle that you need to understand what's going on. So you get some samples, get some blood samples, tissue samples, culture them, look at them under a microscope and see if you can grow any fibers from them that look like what people are calling Morgellons. And lo and behold, you can. So they're getting into everything. So what's the purpose? Well, you go and find films such as Ray Kurzweil's Transcendent Man, and they tell you this is what they're going to do. They're going to merge man with machine. They're going to do it genetically. And when we go out into space, we're going to be sending nanoparticulates infused with artificial intelligence out into space to harness other energies that it finds in the universe. What they're basically saying is we're going to turn humankind into the Borg, and we're going to go out and assimilate the rest of the universe. That's basically what they're saying. I mean, these people are completely mad. And the question is, I mean, they're saying they're going to do this. And as I said, it's not a matter of whether these are evil people. It's simply that they're people who believe that their way is the only way. They are absolutely focused on merging man with machine. And what if they are doing it without the permission of the rest of the human race? What if they're already doing it? And if you start looking around and you see who these people are, what organizations they control, and what positions of power they hold around the planet, then it becomes very, very possible and, in fact, highly likely that this process is already underway right under the nose of the people, and the people aren't paying attention. So how do we deal with it? Well, the way we deal with it, first off, is by really realizing who we are and realizing that we have the power to pull our governments in, to rein these governments in and expose all of these systems of control and stop the rest of this control grid going ahead. I mean, if people want to merge themselves with machine, that's fine. Go and merge yourself with machine. But I don't particularly want to do it. And I don't think my son wants to do it. And I don't think anybody that I know wants to do it. And apart from that, even if they did, I think they should be given the choice to say no. That's the issue. And the only people who can deal with it is us. And I'm not saying, hey, this is what's happening. There's this big conspiracy to merge us with machines. All I'm doing is looking at the evidence that has been presented to me right under my nose and right under everybody's nose. And I'm throwing the cards on the table, and this is where they fall. And if someone can give me a better explanation for what's going on, then I'm all ears. But this is what appears to be going on, and it's right there under everybody's noses. And that's just simply what my research says. Now, I can't rule this out because I'm not going to think within the parameters that I've been trained and told to think within. I'm going to think about things very open-mindedly, and this is what I'm finding. So, yeah.
Well, you make a sterling case for what you found, and I do hope that people have a look at this film, Transformation. Like I said, you can find it on the website. TheCrowHouse.com is a good place to start, and also the other information, the plethora of incredible information that Max Egan collates there on the website. There's a lot of information you need to know about a whole lot of things right there on the one site, so make sure you do that. Now, Max, so we're coming up to the end of the hour. We're almost out of time. It's been fantastic to have you. I'm very grateful that you did that and you made yourself available and for bringing up this really, really important topic. And I'd just like to leave, if we could, leave the audience with one more word about the fact that really we do have the opportunity to make positive changes, and we do have the opportunity to take our power back in a real way, don't we? I mean, we just have to really recognize that the power itself lies with us, and we have the power to change things right now.
Well, we do. You know, we're always pointing the finger at government. We go and protest. We do things which are essentially counterproductive because, really, the power all is within ourselves. Everything that we need to do is within ourselves. If we can change our heart space and discover the beauty of ourselves and the truth of ourselves and simply stand in that and ask the right questions to these people and realize what our relationship with these people is, what it is with government. I'm not saying go and argue with the police and have riots in the street, but You know, take these politicians on. I mean, ask them the right questions and stand in the power that you have. We can do this. And understand the concept of trust. Understand the concept of this trust agreement. This is a huge opportunity for us because never before in history has the workings of the machine been laid so bare for all to see. It's right there. It's right there for us to see. We could fix it all with a people's mandate. Like I said, we could simply create a mandate, all stand in solidarity with it and deliver an ultimatum to the government. You know, but we're not going to do that if we don't see the beauty in each other. And we don't do that because we're all enslaved to debt. So we all compete with each other. We're all kept in a state of manufactured scarcity. It's this vicious circle, this vicious treadmill that we've been kept on. So we've got to find a way of stepping back from that. You know, I really believe it all comes from changing your heart space. Lead by example in all that you do. Be a person of high integrity, because if you are, then you don't need government. Integrity has no need of government. Integrity has no need of rules. You know, all you have to do is do what's right and be in your heart. That's where the remedy lies. And I think we can do it. And if people can spread the concept of trust throughout the community, then you're going to find people such as myself and other people that are going to be standing up publicly and calling this government out, and you're going to see it right around the world. There's a huge movement to get this happening, but we need a groundswell of public to know this. We need the people to understand the concept of trust and what their relationship with government is, because once we rein this government in, and really that's the best we can do. We can't crash the system. We have to rein it in. If we just crash it and bring it down, have violent revolution or whatever, a lot of people are going to suffer. But we have the power to peacefully rein these people in by understanding this, the concept of trust. We can rein them in, and then we can steer the ship of state into a different direction. And through that steering, we can remove the interest-based money system, put in an honest monetary system. We can get the toxins out of the water, the toxins out of the food, get rid of the GM food. We can change the direction we're going in. But it has to be done by the power of the people. That's the only thing that will allow it to ever happen. So it comes down to the individual. It comes down to you finding yourself. So that's where the answers lie, folks. Just look in your heart, because that's where all the solutions lie. But once you find that, remember, you've got to apply it to the world around you. As I said, shift happens. You just have to participate.
Very true. And thank you, Max. And it's incredible film, folks. Please make time to check it out. And as the famous Deepak Chopra says in you mentioned there in the transformation film, all our problems are man-made, and so will be the solutions. And that really does lie the heart of where we need to travel in the direction we need to take. Max Egan, thank you so very much for your time on the Source Radio program tonight.
My pleasure, Benjamin. Anytime.
Thanks again.